Hi, and welcome to another podcast from Hinton Alliance Church. I'm Pastor Kevin, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together, and our goal with this podcast called Pastor's Ponderings is to discuss the message from last Sunday and to figure out if there's some things that we had to leave out because of time constraints, or maybe something wasn't quite clear enough, so we want to regurgitate and just chew on that for a bit, and we welcome you to come along for the journey. Well, it's good to be back again. I had so much fun from last Sunday studying the book of Job. I don't always have that much fun. You know, sometimes it's a real struggle to try and pull stuff out of the passage. But this, I just found it was like a delightful weekend. It was like I was almost making friends with Job and also his friends. Like, it just felt like I was a part of their little group. And I'd been invited into this small group of people who were dialoguing about these massive things about suffering and God's sovereignty and justice and wisdom. And, you know, I mean, and not only that, but you cannot rush through the book of Job. If you do,
absolutely not.
You'll be so lost. I don't even think you'll make it to the end.
Yeah.
Because the way it's written that I didn't get to talk about on Sunday was how Job starts the whole ball rolling by his cursing of the day he was born. And then it's his friends who pick up what Job says. And then Job responds to his friend. And then the other friend responds to Job's response to his friend.
Right.
And it just kind of, it's a tangly weave of Hebrew poetry that's dense and thick. And you can easily get lost in the dialogue in the middle chapters.
Right, definitely.
I did enjoy it. It was good to go back and read that book again. I haven't read it forever. And just to kind of refamiliarize myself with the whole process even before I started writing my message on Sunday. But that was my experience with Job. What, have you had experience with Job before? Have you?
Yeah, it's interesting. A couple months ago, I started rereading Job and looking at how steadfast Job was. I am innocent. I haven't done anything.
Right.
Even in the face of circumstances that obviously from the thinking of his day would have told him differently.
Yeah.
And then his friends coming to him and saying, there's no way you're innocent.
Right.
Job stands fast.
Yes.
And almost to a fault, it seems, but then in the end, God again reassures Job, you're innocent, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he commends Job.
Yeah.
Whereas in the midst of his dialogue with his friends, he says some pretty almost outlandish things of God has attacked me, God has ruined my life. Yeah. And you think, wow, has he taken this too far? Has he gone over the deep end in these accusations against God? And then how God brings it to an end and still commends Job at the end of it.
I think that's the beauty of lament, though.
Mm-hmm.
Lament doesn't have to be theologically accurate.
Yeah.
I think when God said in the last chapter, in chapter 42, where he commends Job as someone who has spoken rightly, whereas his friends had spoken evil, even like wrongly about
right.
God, you go back and you think, well, no, Job wasn't this sort of spotless conversationalist with God. He was actually blaming God. He was accusing God of being unjust, which is not true.
Right.
But he did it in his lament. He did it as a form of pain, letting out pain. And so God commends him, not because so much of what he said, but because he was in prayer with him, because he lamented with him. And I think sometimes we as Christians, I don't think we've grown up in very understanding, I guess you would use that word, of how important it is to lament, to let out your sorrow. Our culture is way too fast-paced. I mean, even at a funeral, if it goes longer than 30 minutes, like, what are we doing?
You've lost people, right?
So lamenting is a huge part. And really, if you follow the trail of Job's not only just defending himself against his friends' accusations, because he held fast to his innocence. And he looked for an advocate. I thought that was probably one of the shining moments in Job's argument. I can't argue with God. He's not here.
Right.
you know, he's in heaven somewhere, you know, right. How do I argue with him? How can mm-hmm. I sit him down? And then he's longing for this advocate mm-hmm. to come. And of course we know, looking back now on history, we know that the advocate right. has come.
He has come. Yeah.
And Jesus, we can go to Jesus and he is the one who hears us mm-hmm. and he works on our behalf as our lawyer. And I think it's, you know, it's phenomenal what you find in that book. And I mean, on a Sunday sermon, you just can't possibly even pull. You mean you're scratching the surface, basically.
Right.
Even definitely. Scratching the surface, though, is some good stuff.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. What else did you see in Job? Did you have any other thoughts about him?
You know, for me, it was neat to see. Always like seeing in the Old Testament all the pictures of Jesus that we see.
Oh, yeah.
And I see that in Job. He was the innocent man who suffered.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't suffer for others, but he suffered in his innocence.
Yeah.
And Jesus, the only perfect man to ever live, yeah. suffered when he didn't deserve to.
Right.
And then in the end, Job is able to act as a priest for his friends. His yeah. three friends bring their offering to yeah. Job. They burn it. Job prays for them, and they're forgiven.
Yeah.
In the same way, Christ is our great high priest, mm-hmm. says, you know, in Hebrews, mm-hmm. he's our high priest, always there between God and us, being that mediator, that advocate for
yeah,
us.
Definitely. Yeah, there was no way you could really pull all of that out in the message on Sunday morning without going forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true that, I mean, a lot of the Old Testament, if not most of it, is reflective of Christ. It mm-hmm. points us, like even I think it was Romans that talks about it being the schoolmaster. Is that Romans or is that Galatians? Maybe it's the schoolmaster that leads us to
right.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, it's well within the boundaries of good theological exegetical work to pull from the story the virtues of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, who suffered,
right?
Like Job suffered.
Mm-hmm.
Who then and then prayed and became and acted as a priest, which is what he was doing when mm-hmm. God said, here, you make the sacrifices and I'll accept Job's prayer,
mm-hmm.
which I thought right. was very interesting, right?
Yes.
It wasn't about I'll accept your sacrifices.
Right. I'm going to accept Job's prayer.
Okay, that's actually pretty cool mm-hmm. because it's on the merits of Job that his friends are forgiven.
Right.
And that's the gospel. That's mm-hmm. Jesus. On the merits of Jesus,
right.
we find forgiveness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely true. Yeah, it's a brilliant sort of way to see the gospel working its way through the book of Job.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I didn't get to talk about much when I was preparing for the message, and I did do a little rabbit trailing with this, is the whole narrative at the beginning, especially mm-hmm. The first two chapters. They are very hard to grasp why we're told this information,
mm-hmm.
right? It is helpful because it lets us know a few things. It lets us know how proud God is of Job.
Right.
Like, how do you consider him? Like, here is no, and he just lists us. He's blameless. He's
right.
There's nobody like him. He loves God and he loves good and he hates mm-hmm. evil. And you just kind of get this long resume of this guy mm-hmm. who's obviously not perfect. He's human.
Right.
But that's how God sees him because mm-hmm. of his faith. And, you know, you could build a whole message around this idea of how God views us.
Mm-hmm.
I would even say you could pull in like Zephaniah chapter 3, where he dances over us
right.
and shouts rejoices over us, loud yeah. singing, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a sense in which I think because of our human sinful nature, even though we're forgiven, even though we've been set free from that, we still have in our heads that we are somehow not worthy.
Right.
And we act like it because of that.
Mm-hmm.
We make excuses for our failures. We, you know,
right.
instead of understanding, you know, a little bit, again, going back to this idea of here's Gideon, you know, he's digging mm-hmm. a hole, hiding from the enemies.
Right.
And God addresses him as mighty warrior.
Mighty warrior.
And you think, what? How come we don't think of ourselves the way God thinks of us?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole sort of, you could easily weave that through the whole of Scripture and encourage people to mm-hmm. think differently about themselves.
Oh,
not
definitely.
Arrogantly,
no.
Not because we don't have any right to think this way.
No.
Only because the way God views us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the whole thing of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself mm-hmm. fails so miserably because not only do we not properly have visions of who God is,
right,
but we don't also embrace who he says we are.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't really fully love ourselves the way we should, not right. in a prideful way, but in the way that the scripture teaches who we are, then how do we actually express that in relationships? And it's all kind of muddled because we're broken and we make right. mistakes and we have to forgive and mm-hmm. all that good stuff. But there you see God just bragging so much about his servant. He does it in two chapters.
Yeah.
So you have the same basic thing. And then mm-hmm. he adds at the end of the second chapter, he adds the whole idea of, and you know, you incited me to ruin him without cause.
Right.
And yet he still maintains
yeah.
in your face, Mr. Accuser.
Right.
So that's my Job, right?
Right.
He just sort of, he's thumbs in his, you know, his mm-hmm. Straps and he's right. just as proud as punch. And you think, Lord, help me to think about myself like that.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to replace those negative, I can't do this, or I'm so rotten.
Mm-hmm.
Which has moments of truth in it, but
right.
I need to see me as he sees me.
Definitely.
Because that is where I'm going to advance. That's where I'm going to grow.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So that was one of the things that I, you know, you can't talk about all that. I don't know mm-hmm. if you could see it there. I don't know if you.
Yeah, definitely.
That, but, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you see, you know, Job is brought to an immense point of humility at the end yeah. when God says, who are you to call me to account?
Right.
But that's balanced with yeah. God bragging on Job yeah. to Satan, to the right. accuser, saying, yeah. look. And so it's, again, that balance of yeah. knowing, you know, my worth is great
yeah.
because of who God says I am. Yeah. Not because of me, not yeah. because of anything I've done, right. yeah. but because of who he says that I am, because yeah. of what Jesus did to save me, to redeem yes. me. He took me from this place of worthlessness, mm-hmm. dead in my sin, to now adopted as a child of God.
Yeah. I'm in the good family.
Right? That's right.
Yeah. I mean, the way he says that all this stuff to Job too, you definitely know that Job has no right to feel
right.
anything other than exactly how God sees him.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as God starts to say, I'm going to speak to you, you're going to answer me.
Mm-hmm.
And where were you when I created right. this and when I made that? And where are the storehouses of this? And what about these lightning bolts? And how about the animals and how a deer gives birth? And then, you know,
right.
he just lists it all. I mean, he goes down to sort of, you know, natural biology, all mm-hmm. that stuff is all just kind of listed there. And you just can feel Job getting smaller and
right.
smaller and smaller.
In the middle of it, Job even basically says, okay, you're right. Yeah, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm sorry.
Who am I to speak to you? See, God's wish to talk to God, but it was actually overwhelming.
Yeah.
He couldn't get a space inside himself.
Right.
And he just crumbles, you know, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to put my hand over my mouth.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my hand over my ears. Like, I can't handle this
mm-hmm.
because of how powerful God is.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool actually too as well.
But what peace that brings in when we get to that point in our lives.
Yeah.
Because so many times it's easy for us to say, God, why are you letting this happen? Why aren't you stepping in?
Yeah.
But if we can get to that place to say, who am I to question God?
Yeah.
Who am I to hold him to account?
Yeah.
That point of humility, then we have such peace in remembering, wait, God has given us these promises.
Yeah.
I can hold on to those.
Yeah.
I can remember who my God is, and mm-hmm. I can know that his promises are sure, even when he doesn't act like I think he should.
Yeah.
And I need to step back,
yeah.
trust his promises, be honest, just like Job, lament in yeah. those times yeah. of mourning, and but trust.
Yeah.
Trust in who he is.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, there was another thing that I thought of too, and the whole idea of how, you know, I mean, calamity came upon him and what did he do? It was so far removed from how most of us, and myself included,
mm-hmm.
would ever respond to all of that.
Yeah.
It says that he fell and worshiped God. After he heard the news of his kids being killed by the storm that hit the house.
Yeah.
And you're just like, how obviously this man was
mm-hmm.
the kind of guy God
right.
really likes, you know? It's like, because I think of myself, how would I turn to worship that quickly?
Mm-hmm.
And to proclaim, you know, naked I came in, naked I'm going out.
Right.
You
know, Lord gives,
given,
the Lord takes away.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you're like, that's just shocking.
Mm-hmm. Like
you could spend a whole sermon
just
talking
that.
About when bad stuff happens, what comes out of your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
What comes out of your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go? What? How do you manage this inside yourself?
Right.
You know? You know, you get a glimpse in the next chapter. I almost kind of wish there wasn't a chapter two. It
right.
should just be a continuing story. where his wife really kind of speaks for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we wouldn't be so bold to say right. curse God and die, but I don't think our thoughts are far from that.
I don't think
when
so.
When we go through those kinds of mm-hmm. things, we shake our fists at God and mm-hmm. we blame him, you know, and the whole description that he never sinned in anything he said about God. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then then his wife pipes up and, you right. know, you're talking like a foolish
woman. Yeah, like, husbands, don't call your wife a foolish woman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
not
a great way to
start. Right.
Yeah, but then the question.
Right, definitely.
Should we accept only good from God's hand mm-hmm. and not bad also?
Right.
I mean, that's a loaded question. Mm-hmm. And again, you could spend oodles of time just talking about in your life, if you look at your mm-hmm. life, if you examine your life, all of us have faced hardship. All of us definitely. Have faced difficulty. All of us have to work through those things. And I think it's to our detriment that many times we don't. We just carry on. Mm-hmm. We got work to do.
Right.
We get to work. We got a family to raise. Mm-hmm. We got money to give. We got to keep a roof over our head. And away we go. And we just go, mm-hmm. go. And we don't actually stop and deal with the acceptance of some of the hard things that have happened to us mm-hmm. and what has done to us. What mm-hmm. has it made us like?
Yeah.
Has it made us more Christ-like? Well, it won't happen by accident.
Right.
It's going to be something that you need to deal with. You mm-hmm. need to stop, look at, get a counselor, get some help.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, get some help and deal with those things.
Right.
So that you can live freely mm-hmm. and be able to minister to people.
Definitely.
Freely. I mean, that's the beauty of the end of Job, right?
Right, definitely.
He ministered on behalf of the Lord for mm-hmm. his friends.
Yeah. Yeah, healing doesn't come from just moving on and putting it behind you.
Yeah.
It's when you actually work through it, when you're honest. Or we see it's in Job's lament that he comes to the place of hearing from God and being able to repent and be used by God in such an amazing way. Yeah. Like you said, so many times it's easy to think, well, that was the past. I'm moving on. I'm done with it. I don't want to go back there. Yeah. It's in the past. But have we truly found healing? Right. Have we truly found restoration? Or have we tried to sweep it under the rug?
Yep.
And is it tripping us up?
Yeah, that's right.
Because it does. Yeah. When we sweep things under the rug, it trips us up and it keeps us from moving forward.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, we're going to have soul care coming up in October. And I think that's another time where we have set aside the church calendar mm-hmm. to bring in, you know, some wisdom, you know, Doug and Terry Balls are coming from the district, you know, wise, good counsel mm-hmm. about dealing with some of the things that we normally just rush past.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why our relationship with our wife isn't working, or mm-hmm. why our relationship with our kid is so strained, why my relationship at work is so bad.
Right.
We wonder about why things are going the way they are, but we never actually stop and look inside ourselves mm-hmm. to see what we're contributing
right.
to the problem.
Yeah.
And soul care, 3 or 4 days of just looking inside and saying, Holy Spirit, you be the guide. Help me find whatever it is that's mm-hmm. tripping me up.
Right.
So I can shed some of this old skin mm-hmm. and move forward. And so I'm looking forward to that as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remembering we're not a failure to say that we need help. Mm. We're not a failure to say, I need help. You know, I need somebody to walk with me through these things from my past, these things that are continuing to hold me back mm-hmm. and say, we all have it. Yeah. We all have junk in our past we have to deal with.
Yeah.
And we're all on this journey together.
Yeah. No, at this vision. When we were doing youth ministry, we tied mm-hmm. a bungee cord to the wall. Mm-hmm. And then the whole point was to run as far as you could before it snapped you back.
Snapped you back. Yeah.
It was amazing. Some people could go so far, but you could just see them straining against whatever it was pulling mm-hmm. them backwards.
Right.
And you know what wins? They never, ever got to the other wall.
Nope.
They bounced mm-hmm. back. And
the further you run, actually, the worse the pullback is going to be.
And it's a little bit like that, I think, in our lives. It's a great mm-hmm. illustration. And, you know, we teach the kids mm-hmm. that if you run from the truth about who you are and what mm-hmm. you're trying to accomplish in life, you can run. You
right.
can keep going. But it's like a bungee cord, and you're pulling, and you're pulling, and you're pulling. And pretty soon, you know, you're going to be 30, 35, 40 years old, mm-hmm. and that thing is going to just snap, and you're going to mm-hmm. go way back.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just going to, you know, the havoc and the chaos and the energy expended trying to move forward.
Right.
Yeah. So we do need to deal with that stuff. That mm-hmm. is for sure. Well, I think, you know, I don't know how much more time we can spend on this. I mean, we'd probably go on forever. But good old Job. I love the fact that he gave his inheritance to his daughters, I thought. To me, that ending was definitely a good seedbed for the future inheritance.
Definitely. That's right.
It doesn't matter if you're male or female.
Right.
I'm sure in that culture.
Definitely.
Definitely wouldn't have gone to the women.
Nope.
Right? That would have been passed over. Mm-hmm. But in his day, that was a brilliant moment where he understood grace because of what he'd been through. And he realized that it's not about, you know, cultural norms or whatever.
Right.
These beautiful ladies, they need an inheritance.
That's right.
And we all do.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a great sort of leap into the forward where we talk about the inheritance that God gives to us.
That's right. Yeah.
And it was a beautiful thing. So I really did enjoy studying the book, and I hope people were encouraged and learned some things and maybe even had a chance to look inside themselves and let the Holy Spirit deal with them in some things, especially with regard to suffering, because I do think we are terrible at understanding suffering. And just before we started this process, I was reading to you from the book of Revelation. And, you know, that is a forward-looking book.
Definitely.
He's looking forward. He's saying, you know, here's what's coming, you know, and the whole thing from start to finish is like that. But at the beginning of it, here's what he says, and I just want to read it to you if you don't mind. So verse 9 of chapter 1, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Christ. And it's just like one of those statements that you can't just brush past.
No.
Because he is saying that I am your brother. I am your companion on this journey of suffering in the kingdom, in patient endurance.
Yeah. Like,
that does not sound like most gospel presentations that I've heard. You know?
If anybody deserved not to suffer, I think it was the beloved disciple, John.
Yeah, exactly. And here he is. He's suffering and patient endurance. This is a way of life for the believer. And I think we try to wiggle out of it as much as we can.
Definitely.
And we go after these sort of, I guess, sugary sweets of maybe some weak theology around prosperity. And if I do something right, then God's going to bless me. And, you know, he might.
Right. Definitely. He does bless us. But
it's not because of theology, you know, because he might not.
Right. That's
which is exactly what Job teaches us, is that he might just say, no, I think I need to let you go through some suffering. And we'll never know the reasons why until maybe we stand before him, and then he'll say, look, here, I'll explain it all to you.
Because
you'll be known and fully known then. We'll be known and, no, he will be known and we will be fully known.
Right.
on that final day when we get to be with the Lord forever. But until then, I think it's important for us to understand that we personally, each of us who are in the faith, must come to grips with suffering. And I think we need to make sure that we understand its value.
Definitely.
And Job is definitely a bullhorn going, hey, wake up, suffering is hard. You know, and it's also, though, it's refining and
definitely.
It's important. And it's a chance for us to lament. And the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus is right there with us.
That's right.
And I think that's where I changed the message from, you know, why do good people suffer to, we worship a God with scars.
That's right.
And I just thought that was a brilliant, like a light went off. And you think, okay, those scars represent the most difficult suffering ever.
That's right.
And they are there as trophies on the body of Christ. He carries those scars with him. He doesn't want us to forget that suffering is a part of this journey.
That's right. Jesus doesn't look back ashamed at his suffering.
No.
And we won't either. Nope. One day when we look back, we won't be ashamed of the suffering we went through.
Yeah. Especially if we invite him in.
That's right.
Because he wants to go through with us. That's why he came, right? He came to this earth. He donned flesh and he suffered and died, which is suffering. And death is the ultimate in suffering, right? We're not supposed to. We're not created to do that, to die. So anyway, that was my thoughts. Did you want to have any other thoughts before we wrap it up?
I think that's good. That was great.
Well, I had some fun. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin, for your word on Sunday. It was good.
No problem. I enjoyed it very much.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Pastor's Ponderings.
Yeah, it was good.
We look forward to many weeks to come as we take a look back on the sermons from Sunday and maybe here and there an issue that's facing our day and age. We would encourage you, don't be afraid to reach out. If you heard something Sunday, if you heard something in this podcast, you have questions about, if you want to know what it means to follow Jesus, reach out to us. You can call the church office, go to our website, hensonalliance.com, our Facebook page, reach out. We're happy to answer any questions, grab a cup of coffee with you, and we look forward to speaking at you again next week.
Mm-hmm.